Okay, so we're starting with Shekachim of Parshas Volok, and I want to start right at the beginning of the Parsha with the Maisa with Bilam and the donkey, which the Shekachim has a very, very interesting chat that relates to the donkey, relates to the whole issue of Bilam's curses and blessings, and starts off addressing a famous kasha, which the Rishonim already deal with. The Ribbono Shel Olam seems to give mixed messages to Bilam as to whether he's allowed to go or not allowed to go. So starting on Shin Samach Vav, Vayavu Elokim El Bilam, the very beginning of the parasha, Vayavu Elokim El Bilam Maila, Vayicharat Elokim Ki Oleichu. And if you look at the parasha, so as we mentioned, there are mixed messages that the Ribbono Shel Olam seems to send Bilam as to whether he should go out on this mission to curse the Jewish people or not. Initially, in Perichov Bey's Basic Tess, it says, Vayavu Elokim El Bilam, God appeared to Bilam, he came to Bilam, Vayavu Miho Anoshim Ha'ila Imach, who are these people? And after Bilam explains, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, Vayavu Elokim El Bilam, Lo Se'leichi Mohem, don't go with them. Lo Se'aretz Ha'am Ki Baruch Hu, don't curse the people. The people are blessed. Right? Bilam sends the officers away, but they come back a second time and ask Bilam, "Nu, maybe you'd like to consider this mission." And then, in Pasuk Chof, Vayavu Elokim El Bilam Laila, Hashem came to Bilam by night, Vayomer Lo, and he says to him, "Im Lekrom Lecho Boho Anoshim, if the people have come to call you on this mission, kum lechitam, get up and go with them. But you should do what I tell you to do." So right off the bat, there's, again, then we should point this out. Right off the bat, there seems to be a mixed message. Originally, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, don't go. And now the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to him and says, go. And when he goes, so Shnei talks to Chof Beis, Vayicharat Elokim Ki Oleichu. And the Ribbono Shel Olam gets mad at him because he's going, and that's when the Malach appears and tries to block him, and ultimately the donkey, speaks to Bilam. So what do you want from poor Bilam? First you tell him not to go, then you tell him to go, then you get angry at him that he's going. Right? That's one of the basic kashas that's asked over here. Yeah.
I'll just say, I want to say that this whole posture of Bilam, the conversation that we had with each other was not Moshe Rakhidish, right? Wasn't it in the writer's space fault?
Presumably, yeah.
So what writer's space fault? I mean, we don't even know what's going on. The Rakhidish have no idea. First of all, they saw Pasha's fault, they must have freaked out.
Right. I think Chassam Sofer writes that this is really a unique Pasha in all the Pashas of the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu really only knows this the Nevuah. In other words, the Jewish people have no idea that any of this is going on. They don't know Bilam, they don't know Balk, they don't know from anything. They're just... Right. So, in terms of the language, I don't know. My guess would be that he spoke to him in whatever language that he spoke normally. The words in the Shekhachma actually they don't directly relate to the language, but they do relate to something which may come back to the language in just a moment. Let's just take a look at the Meshech Chochma, where, again, the Meshech Chochma, without stating the Kasha, is bothered by this basic Kasha. Shem says, don't go, then he says, go, and then he gets angry that he goes. So, explains the Meshech Chochma, Ki ba hanavua valayla misupekes umilubeshes bekoach hamidameh. You should know, whenever Nevuah comes at night, it's always unclear. It's always dressed up, the Koach HaMedama, with a lot of imagination. In other words, if a person gets a Nevuah at night, so, he has to be very wary of that Nevuah, because the very nature of a Nevuah that comes at night is one which could very easily be misinterpreted.
Is he asleep or awake?
It seems like he's sleeping.
Is he saying that dreams?
Exactly, right. Now, how do you know what's the Nevuah and what's the dream? What's his imagination working overtime? In fact, more than that, Asher Birobitosov Kosev, right? Most of the time, if a person gets a dream at night, the dream is not nevuah. The dream is really just some kind of his imagination. The ein sofek motzi midei vaday, v'hu amar lo lo seilech. So therefore, kinsesim eshachachma. That's how we can understand this seeming flip flopping, which happens at the beginning of this parasha. Let's take a look carefully at the psukim again. Says the eshachachma. So originally, when the Ribbono Shel Olam appears to Bilam in pasuk Tes, says Vayavo Elokim El Bilam. It doesn't say anything about Laila. It says God appeared to Bilam. Says the eshachachma. Presumably that means God appeared to Bilam not in a dream. God appeared to, again, whatever this means exactly, but God appeared to Bilam in a more clearer type, in a clearer type of format. Right? Now, you'll say, well, don't Nevi'im generally get their Nevuah in dreams and the like? Yeah, but consider another statement from Chazal. Chazal tells us that Bilam was on a level of Nevuah that was equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Lokom b'Yisrael ol k'moshe, b'Yisrael lokom, abububos olam kom. Bilam, in terms of his Nevuah, had a level like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, pe'o pe'o da'der bo, umare v'lo v'chidos. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't experience God simply in a chalom, simply in a dream, like other Nevi'im do. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to talk to God directly. Again, what does that mean? I have no idea. But, it means on some level, Moshe Rabbeinu has a certain type of clarity that he experienced with Nevuah that other Nevi'im did not have. So, says the Meshech Chachma, let's see what happens over here. Vayavo Elokim El Bilam. Initially, Hashem comes to Bilam, how? In a clear Nevuah. Let's call it the Asaklaria Hameira, right? Again, I don't know if that's accurate over here, but certainly it's a very clear form of Nevuah. And he says, Lo Seleich Imohem, Lo Sa'ore Sa'om. Don't go with them, don't curse the people. And that was during the day. That was the initial Nevuah. Again, whether it means, during the day in the sense that, he was awake. I mean, maybe it was at night, but, he was awake. Then, but the second time that Ribbono Shel Olam appears to Bilam, it's Vayavo Elokim El Bilam Laila. The word Laila is used. Now, the Laila is not used the first time, it's only used the second time. Says the Meshech Chachma, that's because the second Nevuah was something that Bilam got in a Cholam, in a dream. And it was cloudy, and it was an Asbaklaria She'ena Me'ira. And it was under those circumstances that Bilam thought he heard God saying, Oh, yeah, you want to go? So go. So says the Meshech Chachma, the taina that the Ribbono Shel Olam has to be of is as follows. You heard clearly, don't go. Then you hear in a chalom, go. So what gives you the right to trust the chalom over the clear expression of Nevuah that you had originally? Right? That's what he writes. Ein sofek motzi midei vada. The second Nevuah, which is the Chalom Alayla, which is in a dream of the night, is a sofek. You're not sure exactly what it means. You sort of think it could be, it might be. No. You had a clear Nevuah from Hashem, don't go. And then you got this kind of hazy reception, with a lot of static on the line that you thought said go. You can't use, it's one thing if that's all you had, but you can't use that to upslug the previous Nevuah which you had. For long I will say, like, Lachain Chara Apo Kiho Lechu. Right? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset. You're going to use, just put this in terms that we can understand. You have a Shiloh, you go to a Rav, the Rav tells you it's absolutely awesome. Right? Absolutely awesome. Then you have almost the exact kind of situation that comes up a few weeks later. You go to another Rav, or you don't even go to the other Rav. You call another Rav on the phone, and the connection is really bad. And you think what he said on the other end of the phone was, maybe it's Mutter B'Shas Adchak. You couldn't really make out any of the words. So you take his, maybe it's Mutter B'Shas Adchak, which maybe you heard, and you use it, against the psak that you got a few weeks ago, which was that it's totally awesome. Yeah.
So, according to the
Meshech Chachma,
did Hashem not
tell them that? So the Meshech Chachma leaves it kind of dangling. The Meshech Chachma implies, again, he doesn't quite flesh it out. The Meshech Chachma implies that the second pasuk is what Bilam thought he heard, but may not actually be what was said. Right? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him in a hazy reception, and Bilam believes that he hears, well, if you want to go, so go. Right? But that may or may not have been what was actually communicated to him.
So, the fact that Hashem said the mouth is the stand in the way to write it, that should fit. Can't you say that?
Yeah, okay, so that would fit in. Or, you know, if you want to say not quite as stark as that, so the Meshech Chacham might say, look, it's unclear what Hashem said the second time. So you can't take the unclear Nevuah and use it against, you know, it's not a Safek HaShaku. It's not like he said go, and then he said, it's not like he said don't go, and then he said go. He said don't go, and then maybe, could be, he said go. So, you know, you gotta go with the don't go. You gotta stick with the don't go until you know otherwise. In other words, the status quo, you know, the default position is you can't go. Right? You're jumping to conclusions, you know, you're jumping, you know, you're looking for a heter, basically, you know, you're hurting a column, but maybe, and from that you go. So then Ram Shalom gets upset at him for doing that. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, no, so that's what the Meshech Chacham, he doesn't quite say that. So that's what the Meshech Chacham certainly leaves open the possibility that Hashem didn't say this to him at all. Right? This was totally his imagination. Right, you know. Right, in other words, you know, the dream might have been not from Hashem at all. Fayavu Elokim El Bilam Laila means, I had a dream that God came to me. He may or may not have come to me. Right? And that's what Meshech Chacham was saying. That's the contrast between where it says Laila the second time, but not Laila the first time. Furthermore, the Gam Kiched Mi'itam Had Sivoy Shalo Sa'ar Es Sa'am. Right? Also, the second thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at there, first of all, you went on the basis of a very hazy, you know, Nevuah. That's number one. Secondly, the Nevuah was not, even according to the second Nevuah, the Nevuah was not go with them and do whatever you want, you know, do whatever they want you to do. Ach, et hadov asher omar lecha, how's the pasuk go? Right? Do what I tell you to do. Which again, certainly in the context of the previous Nevuah, which was Lo Sa'aris Al, you're not allowed to curse the people, right? And just tell it, you know, first he tells them don't curse the people, then he says, okay, you'll say what I'm gonna say. Now if he was being honest with the people who are hiring him, where the whole point of their hiring him is we're hiring you to curse the people, he should have gotten up in the morning and said, look, okay, God says I can go, but I am totally in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam to do whatever he tells me to do. And by the way, he did tell me not to curse the people. Right? I mean, if he would have said that to them, he would have lost his job. Right? They would have said, okay, well, you know, it was nice knowing you, but the whole point is that we want you to curse the people. He doesn't reveal any of this to them. Right? And that shows his dishonesty, says the Meshech Chachma, because even if we grant that he might have had a hetzer from Hashem to go, you know, Iker Chaser Min HaSefer, he still has to share with the people who are hiring him that he definitively does not have a hetzer to curse the people, and was told by Hashem, you say whatever I'm going to put into your mouth.
See, two things in the Meshech. You see, his tremendous hatred.
Right.
It was a topic about the second one. He said, no, I heard.
Right.
He said, go.
Right.
He caused us so much that
he wanted to go. He clearly wanted to go. Right. Right. So you know, you begin to appreciate some of the terrible things that Chazal say about, you know, Bilam's character. You know, his greed and, you know, all these sort of things, the way the Meshech Chacham portrays it, right? Basically, he sold himself out for money, he was dishonest with them. You know, we're not talking about someone who, you know, at least has the honesty of being a true, you know, Novi who for ideological reasons, you know, believes that he's doing the right thing even though he's misguided. Nah, you pay me enough and I'll do whatever it is that you want to be done.
Why should somebody who could speak to Hashem, who knows there's a Hashem, even value money? I mean, you know, here you are, you're able to communicate with someone who's infinite, and you worry about some money, some trinkets that most of the time gives you.
All right, so that's a great question, and the truth is, I think, you know, in many ways, just to take the question and turn it into the answer, you know, classic, I'll just repeat the question in a second. Classic Litvish and Musser style is you ask a question, can it be that? And the answer, and the whole schmooze is based on the fact that, yes, so you see that it can be. Question is, how do you understand this character Bilam? I mean, the man talks to God on a madrega that's reminiscent of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he's willing to sell out for a couple of bucks. Right? What kind of person has a connection with the infinite and is so, you know, steeped in mammon and taiva and whatnot? So I... Yeah, so, okay, I want a couple of bucks, right? But I think the answer that we're supposed to take away from this parsha is that exactly that. You know, I mean, you see that a person, a human being, can be connected to God in the most sublime fashion, but a human being is still a human being. I mean, a person has to work on himself and his middos, and, you know, when a person has bad middos, he could have the most extraordinary religious experiences, but they're perverted through, you know, you take the cleanest, most beautiful water, you know, from the purest spring, from wherever, and you pour it into a cup that has dirt in the bottom, so the water's got to be dirty. That's just the way it is, right? So, you know, yes, Torah can be mitzayir a person, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be mitzayir a person, but the person has to be willing to be, you know, to allow himself to be mitzayir, you know.
It depends on the other way. How does a person of such low character get...
Right, so Chazal implied that basically the Ribbono Shel Olam kind of picked him out and said, I'm giving you a gift of Nevuah. Right? In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him, you know, that he wanted to show the Umos HaOlam, you know, had a taina that we don't have anyone who's a prophet. All right, you are a prophet, I'll give you a prophet. Right? You know, that's the impression that you have from those statements of Chazal, that right, he wasn't really prepared in a midos sense, but apparently he had the knowledge and the understanding as a scientist, you know, as someone who was a metaphysicist, you know, was able to connect in that way.
This prophet always wanted to make a prophet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did Balak or Midian know that they wanted first call Israel because it sounds like because they were afraid of them because they were so big and because they destroyed a Moby? And they would curse any other people, wanted to curse any people, because they knew that they were favorite to Hashem, and therefore, to them to be ice favorite, they wanted them cursed.
I think the second. In other words, that this wasn't just... They realized that they were dealing with a nation with God on their side. That's why we need something beyond the regular tactics of war. You know, we need something like a curse of the level of a Bilam's curse in order to deal with these people. Now, a basic question which plagues us in the parasha is, who really cares whether Bilam goes and curses the Jewish people? I mean, there's such extraordinary pains which are taken, you know, from the Ribbono Shel Olam to thwart the plans of Bilam HaRasha. Bilam's going to go curse them, and Hashem says, you're not going to curse them, I'm going to put brachas in your mouth, and you're going to bless them. You know, at a level of Pasha Pshat, let him curse! What? And if Bilam goes and he says a couple of magic hocus-pocus words against the Jewish people, so that's going to be effective. Again, we know what Chazal say about, you know, he was able to be mechaving the red guy, you know, there was a certain time when God is angry and Bilam was going to tap into that. Okay, but just on a Pashto level, why does the Ribbono Shel Olam go to such lengths to thwart the curses of Bilam and transform them into blessings? All right, so, you know, some meshuganas going around, you know, uttering curses against the Jewish people, let him do whatever he wants, you know. I mean, what is the big deal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes these curses and transforms them into blessings?
I guess you can say it because you know that Bruce Kusel's Messiah,
right,
that is, it's that speech is what separates man from beasts, and professional things for it's very, very serious, and I saw, whatever, you know, low Madrega, who knows?
Right.
Ask Shalom at that point that those curses that Kush Bob, you know, switched to brothers and first wanted to do that, who knows? Maybe at that time the fact that Christ will be in the city and stuff, they could not affect.
Right. So that's one way to read the passage. I think that's probably the standard way to read the passage. Namely that, no, you never know, the curses are real. You know, even the curses of a Bilam have an effect. And again, you know, Klal Yisrael has maybe perhaps some schusim to ward off the curses. But, you know, who knows? The day will come, Rachman al-Islam, where the schusim are not going to work. And we don't want these curses dangling around. Meshach Chokhmah takes a very different approach And you know, it's very 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 interesting read. Let's take a look at the second paragraph there. Hakadmonim nispalu al neis psichas piha asa. You know, going back to Mefarshim, all wonder about the miracle of the speaking donkey. Again, as we pointed out from the Chassam Sefer before, you know, none of the events that happened in this parasha are actually displayed to Klal Yisrael. So who sees that the donkey talks? Bilam. And the officers of Balak. What a waste! You know, what an awesome miracle to waste on a bunch of lowlifes. You know, why should they be privy? And nobody else should be privy to this incredible miracle of a talking donkey. Va'anireh, it would seem to me as follows, says the Meshech Chachma. Ki ma shechosh Hashem Yisborach, shelo yikalil Bilam. Again, let's just raise the question we raised a minute before. Why does God care whether Bilam curses the Jewish people or not? Ha'im akim asfosav hava maisa. Right? We think that if he moves his lips and he says a couple of really damaging words, do we think anything, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Right? Ha'im hu yisborach yivarech. Im hu yisborach yivarech malonu ki yikalel. If God wants to bless the Jewish people, what do I care this Meshuggah is going around uttering curses? Now again, one mahalach is to say, like what Rabbi Rubin said, that, you know, we do care if Meshuggah go run around cursing the Jewish people, because the curse does have an effect. The Meshuggah Chacham is starting from the vantage point, look, if God wants to bless the Jewish people, He'll bless the Jewish people. If God, Rechman al-Litzon, wants to punish the Jewish people, He'll punish the Jewish people. Bilam's words, according to the Meshuggah Chacham's understanding, he wants to say a curse. Let him say a curse. You know what? What are we making such a big deal over it already? In my humble opinion, the correct way to understand this parasha is as follows. Ki ravs Hashem lahakil emosim shol Yisrael al chol malchei eretz Yisrael v'chol malchei agoyim asher lo yavo lahoir krav b'rivros al chol Yisrael. God's whole intent in this parasha is to scare the nations around Eretz Yisrael that they shouldn't wage war against the Jewish people. Lochein bebilom shehu ayanichbor mikol agoyim malchusam v'hoyu sholim piv v'achar yatsos loshinu. If a person like Bilam, who was well respected among the nations of the world, would get up and talk about how frightening the Jewish people are, how likely they are to conquer the world, how invincible they are, how protected by God they are. If such a person, like a Bilam, were to get up and make public statements like that, that would have a real effect on all of the nations of the world, and it would stop them from starting up with the Jewish people. Right, right. But, you know, back then, so Bilam was such a madrega, they respected him. So if he were to get up and say, you know, you shouldn't mess with the Jewish people, they are protected by God, that actually would have had an effect on people. The Kashir Hoyokane, Kashir Amarachov. Right, indeed, when Klal Yisrael come into Eretz Yisrael, and Rachov Hazona, you know, in Yericho tells the Meraglim, who come into Yericho, you know, we are petrified of you Jewish people. We attack are very, very scared of you. V'tochen ki kivno lezeh, v'chinoch lo imaschem oleinu v'chulei, ki shomanu v'ashe asisem, v'yishmam imas levavenu, And he suggests the following interesting chat. When Rachov tells the spies, you know, we've heard of all of the things that you've done, and we are petrified, how did they hear? Perhaps in part, the best PR guy for the Jewish people was Bilam. Because after this whole episode, Bilam went around. First of all, what did Bilam prophesize during Parshas Balak? He prophesied how the Jews had left Mitzrayim, how they were going to conquer all of these nations, and how the Jews are essentially invincible because God is on their side. Keil Mosiyom Mitzrayim Kisah Chosre Eimlo Yochal Goyim Sarov Yasposehem Yigarem Chisav Yimchotz. Right, that the Jewish people are going to destroy all the nations around them. So posits the Meshech Chachma. It was Bilam's prophecies that had such an impact on the nations around, to the point when the Jews go into Yericho, Rachel says, you know, we heard all the incredible things you did, and that you are going to do. Because Bilam's prophecies concern the future. They go all the way to the time of Moshiach. And says the Meshech Chachma, those prophecies really had an impact on the people around. So that's Meshech Chachma's assuming. Bilam didn't keep this to himself. Bilam said it in the presence of Balak. And between the two of them, the best way to spread a secret is to tell it to one other person. Right? Between the two of them, the word got out that Bilam, the greatest Navi that the Goyim had prophesied that the Jews were invincible, protected by God, and they were going to conquer the nations of the world. And, you know, in 2 minutes, that spread like wildfire. He was angry, but he believed it. Right? In other words, otherwise, why was he angry? Right? And if it was just empty words, okay, so good. So he's angry because he knows it's true. Right? And in talk, he comes home that night, his wife asks him, Nusa, how did the day go? Well, actually, it's a pretty lousy day. I just found out the Jews are going to conquer the world. Okay, so, she goes down to play Mahjong the following day. Nusa, what's doing? Yeah, Jews conquering the world. Yeah, that's it. The tweets go out and everybody knows. Sha'af sha'ayu oz devukim b'Hashem yisparach. So you may say, why does God have an interest in making sure that the other nations don't attack the Jewish people? So let them attack and God will defend them. Okay, but it's not as simple as that. Even though the Jews were on a high madrega, but once anyone is placed into a situation of danger, the Satan always digs up whatever averus you have. I'm sorry? By I, right? He goes on to say that. When there's a war, things are bad. HaKadosh Baruch, we don't take the perspective that, okay, bring them on, and HaKadosh Baruch is going to protect us. No, we don't want them, to start up with us. And maybe, if there's a war, the Jews will lose a certain amount of bitachon and Hashem, and then Taka will lose. V'zeh haya eitz amukah michach v'savar yisparach la'apil eimo al agayim v'divrei nevi'im bilam hakosen. So this whole parsha is, God doesn't really care about whether Bilam curses the Jewish people per se. Let him put a curse on him so God will protect us. But if God can get Bilam to utter true nevuos about how the Jewish people are invincible, that's going to have an impact on the entire world. And it's going to save the Jewish people. Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using Bilam for Hasbara. He's taking Bilam and he's making him into a PR guy, to spread the word to the nations of the world that you don't start with the Jewish people. Right, okay, Achinami. So, it happens that, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to pick Bilam out of the crowd. But once Balak had already hired Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used this as an opportunity, let's take advantage of this, not just to be a negative thing or even a neutral thing, let's turn this into something positive, which can have a long-term effect. V'lochein choshash Hashem ten yomru ha'amim ki b'nei Yisrael shochadu mikaspam hom rav l'bilam ki yomar aleim chisyonos ka'ela. But there's only one fly in the ointment. There's only one problem with the plan. What's that? So Bilam, let's say Bilam were to come and, recite all of these incredible nevuos about, the future of the Jewish people and how they're invincible and how they're this and that they're great and they're wonderful and all of that. So what are the nations of the world going to say? Oh, they bought him. We know Bilam can be bought. Even they knew Bilam could be bought. Right? So if he's really saying such wonderful things about the Jewish people, what's that that he used to say such wonderful things about the Jewish people? We know Bilam in Mitzrayim was the one who wanted to do away with the Jewish people. Bilam's not a friend of the Jewish people. So all of a sudden, he's talking about how they're going to, conquer all of the nations. They must have paid him off.
Wow. What kind of silly thing is that?
What do you mean?
Mike's over there. He's over there. What
okay, he went to the Swiss banks. You know, I know. How to pay people off. You know, there's no shortage of ways, you know, to pay people off. What do you want to pay people off? Ah, yeah, you know, yeah. It's all a plot, you know, and yeah, whatever, you know. Conspiracy theories, you know, go back to the dawn of time, right? So don't be a conspiracy theory. They must have paid him off. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is using Bilam as a hasvara tool, as a PR tool. Good. But how do we address the conspiracy theory people, right? How do we address the taina that maybe they paid him off? Okay, all right, but, you know, I don't know. Kodesh Baruch was not going to make a plan that involves, you know, Bilam sending the Benos Moav over to seduce the Jewish people to Avodah Zarah, right? From Hashem's point of view, how can Hashem orchestrate it so that it's clear that he was not bought off? Lochein her Hashem Yisrach pliat suma inyan ha'asam. To go back to our original question, that's the role of the Asa. That's why the donkey has to speak. Again, he started off with the question, why is it awesome nice to have a donkey speak? Why did Hashem waste such a miracle, you know, to make such a miracle in front of a bunch of lowlifes, in front of Bilam and the Sarei Bala? Teretz is, that's why Hashem did this, Inyan Yosef Mikvul Ativi, something unusual, unnatural, haros. Ki Hashem omaloch Hashem edaber impiv. Umashu omer hu omer bidvar Hashem yisparach. The donkey shows us that what God puts into the mouth of Bilam, what Bilam says, is God making Bilam speak. How so? Because when they see that God can make a donkey speak, everybody understands that if God can put words into the mouth of a donkey, God can certainly put words into the mouth of Bilam. And if Bilam can't control his donkey, right? So we certainly understand that he's not in a position to go up against the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's a lot harder to say, oh, he must have been paid off by the Jews. He wasn't paid off by the Jews. He didn't want to do this. The donkey told him, you know, you idiot. You know, you're not going to go to against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he did it in front of the Sarei Bala. So he couldn't deny it, Bilam. Says the donkey, and the talking donkey provides the answer to the question, you know, to the conspiracy theory. Oh, they must have bought Bilam off. That's why he's being so buddy buddy with the Jews. Nah, it's the whole thing is against his will. He didn't want to do it. You see that from the mice of the talking donkey.
The fellas, you don't see anybody being surprised that the donkey was swallowed. Like who talks to the donkeys? It says normally up there, comments. And the story might up. Well, I say, hey, what do you got there? I got a match. The donkey was this. Everybody's talking. You know, why should this go on? It's a public complaint. It's normal.
Right. So the MS is. I mean, Bilam, you're right, the Bilam just carries on with the donkey like, hey, no big deal, you're not talking donkey, okay, it happens every day. The Sarei Bolok are curiously quiet. You don't hear anything from them. And the way I understood that was just, they are shocked. They don't have anything to say. You know, they're just watching this, their mouths are open. Right? So, and that would, you know, that would fit in well with the Meshech Chochma's understanding. The purpose was to shock them and to show them. And this way, it's a lot harder to, you know, to just brush away the nevuos of Bilam HaRasha, right? But the whole role of this parsha is to, you know, is to generate these nevuos of Bilam HaRasha in, you know, the positive nevuos in order to spread fear among the nations of the world to leave the Jewish people alone. Again, a very fascinating way of looking at the parsha. Okay, want to take a look at a paragraph that the Meshech Chochma has on Shin Samiches. Ko'es ye omer li Yaakov li Yisrael ma'po al keo, in om kilovi yokum uchari yisnasa. That's the middle of the left-hand column on page Shin Samiches, where in the midst of the nevuos of Bilam HaRasha, he makes that following statement. It's Perichov Gimel, Pasuk Chov Gimel, Pasuk Chov Dalet. Article translates as follows. Even now it is said to Jacob and Israel what God has wrought. Behold, the people will arise like a lion cub and raise itself like a lion. It will not lie down until it consumes prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Right, so Rashi writes that Koesi Omer Liyakov Od Otsid Lios Ace Koes Hazos Ashetikolachi Basan Le'en Ko. There will be another time, Koes, just like this time, there will be another time when God's love for the Jewish people is manifest to all. When the Jewish people are learning Torah from the mouth of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, in the future world, in the Olam Haba, you know, the love that God has for the Jewish people will be apparent to all. That's how Rashi learns the pasuk. Ko'es, just like this time, there will be another time where Yehomei Liyakob Yisrael Ma'po Alkel. Seven Meshach Chachma, Perush Al Derech HaPshat. I want to say Pshat in this pasuk. Says Meshach Chachma, not like Rashi. Ki Ko'es, כהאיס הזוס והמצב הנוכחי שחבים הוסיכון ועוג פסידן און לנקול ממידיון ומלכי כנען. Right? Based on what we see now, that the Jewish people have just destroyed Sichon and Og, and that very shortly they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and destroy the Malchi Knan. Ye'omer li'Yakov kmo al Yaakov. So just like this time, it will be said about Yaakov, Uli Yisrael Perush al Beis Yaakov Yisrael Yomar Reu Ma'Poal Hashem. Right, Koesi Yomar Liyakov Yisrael Ma'Poal Kel means, based on what you see now, it will be said about the Jewish people, wow, God did something amazing over here. What the Jewish people have managed to accomplish by defeating Sichon and Og is a clear sign of the wonders of Hashem. How so? Ukmo Baruch Shekachalo Be'Olama. Hisbonenu gvuroso niklosu mashapol Hashem. Kinei am kilovi akum. Because the people of Israel rose up like a lion. What's the metaphor of a lion or the lion cub? Shalovi kishoked eno nikra meuma. Kshiakum roin mihu. The lion cub, when it's lying down, doesn't seem particularly frightening, right, or astounding. You ever go to the zoo and you see the lions lying on the rock in the middle of the cage, you know, in the middle of the day, just kind of sunning themselves? They don't look very scary. Right? Okay, it's a bunch of big cats, you know, lying around in the middle of the day. Right? You know, Baruch Hashem, I've never been up front with a lion who's, you know, enraged, but certainly you look at pictures and whatnot. You know, that same lion who's lying down lazily on the rock, when he gets up, you know, and he's in his full force, you appreciate, whoa, this is a force to be reckoned with. So too, Kein Ha'am Hazeh, so too the Jewish people. Halo Hoyu Avod, Da'afilo Aram She Beisom Oshaltu. This was a nation of slaves. U'pis'om Kilovi Okum V'chari Yisnasa. You know, when they were slaves, they were like the lion who was lying down, who didn't seem to be a threat. But now they're like a lion that has risen up. All of a sudden, this nation of slaves have conquered Sichon and Og and are poised to conquer the Malchei Knan. Wow, we didn't appreciate who these people were. She'en ho'ezer mishtatfus mamlechos acherim mak me'atzmo. Mohari she'en ho'koris ulos alola Ezra. Right? The lion doesn't call others to help it out. The Jewish people, you know, who were a bunch of slaves, all of a sudden have been transformed into an independent nation who are not dependent on anyone else. Re'umi ma'pa'al Hashem baruch hu. Take a look at this incredible thing that God has done. Ki ein zeh sidur tivi, that's obviously not natural. Rak hashkocha protios me'elokei kol, it's obviously a sign of hashkocha protis. And I mean, what the Meshach Chachma is somewhat reminiscent of is, you know, what people said after 1967, you know, the victories of the Six-Day War, you know, Israel, you know, we thought they were, you know, a great sea nation, you know. Nobody thought they were going to be able to stand up against the Arabs. You know, they were going to be pushed into the sea. And then, Hein Om Kilovi Yakum, right, you know, all of a sudden, wow, they jump up and they're as powerful as a lion. This is obviously Miniflos Hashem. This is obviously some kind of divine thing which is going on over here. Some Hashkocha Protis, because from a natural point of view, it's just simply not possible. I think I heard once that, you know, in one of the military schools, they were analyzing different wars, you know, from a military perspective, if someone raised the question of the Six-Day War and the Israeli victory, and the instructor said, we don't discuss that war because we have no natural way of understanding the Israeli victory under those circumstances, right? It defies all human logic. It's not something we can really study because it doesn't fit any of the paradigms. I heard that that was once raised in a military context, in the context of military school. I don't have a quote for you, an exact citation, but Kach Shamayti. V'chaser milas re'u ka'asher yodua derech hatzachus. Right, it's the way to read the pasuk is ko'es based on the events of now. Ye omer li Yaakov li Yisrael, re'u ma po'al keil. Take a look at the Jewish people and see what God has done in this situation. V'zeh she'ikdim t'chila keil motzia mi Mitzrayim, ki lo nachash bi Yaakov lo ketzem. When the pasuk earlier says God took the Jews out of Egypt, and there's no nachash or kesem, there's no magic among the Jewish people. Shein v'haploim shal yisor shum nachash or kesem, rak kolach Hashem yisborach. Don't think that it's magic or sorcery that the Jewish people were so victorious, right, in fighting against Sihon and Og. It's rather the kolach of Hashem yisborach himself, which is manifest in these circumstances, right? So again, just a very simple pasuk pshat in the pasuk, which the Meshech Chochma brings out in this context. One last nekuda, which I just want to bring out tonight, is something we actually touched on back in Parshas Baaloscha, and the Meshech Chochma here is very, very much l'shitasa. Just want to take a look at a paragraph at the bottom of page Shin Samech Tes, the bottom of the right-hand column. Fascinating chiddush, which he brings up over here. The da'achrei ma'aseh d'shitim. We know at the end of the Parsha, unfortunately, we go from the pinnacle of the Jewish people being described in such lofty terms to the terrible events described at the end of the Parsha, the Ma'aseh of Shittim, you know, with the Znus and the Avodah Zarah, which ultimately leads to a terrible plague and all of the things that happen at the end of the Parsha. You should know, says the Meshech Chochma, that after the Ma'aseh of Shittim, the Lefi HaMedrash, Nigzar Aleihem L'Zarosam Ba'arotzos, he quotes the Medrash Yavkut Shimoni that describes how the Jewish people were sentenced to Golos after the Ma'aseh of Shittim. So, says the Meshech Chochma, it was so bad that which the Jewish people had, the depths to which the Jewish people had sunk during Shittim, that Hayolahem Afarizet didn't give us Chodosh. That the Jewish people, Mamash, had to be Megayer again before they could continue being the Am Hashem, the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that Chazal already tells us that the Jewish people by Har Sinai went through the steps of Gerus, of conversion. Steps of Gerus is Mila, Mikvah, and then bringing a Karbon. Right? Those are traditionally the three steps of Gerus for a man. Chazal described how each of those three elements took place at Har Sinai. Said the Meshech Chochma, the Jewish people, you know, in a sense, where they had their Jewishness revoked after the Ma'aseh of Shittim. Under normal circumstances, of course, this doesn't happen, right? But, you know, the Jews had done something so terrible that their Jewishness was revoked, and they had to undergo another Gerus after the Ma'aseh of Shittim. And that, he says, what was the Gerus? Shemol on Yoshua. We know that when they come into Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua subjects them to Bris Milah. Why did they need Bris Milah? So he says, the Bris Milah, in part, was a Milah L'Shem Geirus. It was a Milah that was done for the sake of reconverting. Utvila. Right? Chazal, now there's no mention of this in the Tanakh, but Chazal tell us that before they brought the Korban Pesach, as they do at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, they were all Tovil. They went to a mikvah. Says the Meshech Chochma, their Tevila, prior to bringing the Korban Pesach, it's not just Tahara for the Korban Pesach, but it's Tevila L'Shem Geirus. It's the immersion for the purpose of becoming Geirus. And finally, Ha'ifsoas Dominim, Zehoyah Pesach. And when they bring the Korban Pesach at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, that is the Karbon which a Geir would ordinarily bring. Now, of course, the Kasha is the Karbon which a Geir ordinarily brings. It's an Olas Ha'ot. It's not a Korban Shlomim, it's not a Korban Pesach. But this is the Meshech Chochma L'Shitasa, because if you recall, back in Parshas Baaloscha, Meshech Chochma told us an incredible chiddush. He told us that the nature of the Korban Pesach as being a Korban that represents the basic ideas of Yiddishkeit, the Karban Pesach can stand in for a ger instead of the Karban Ola Sarof, which we'd ordinarily bring. So in other words, if a guy is Megayer right before Pesach, he doesn't have to bring the regular Karban of Ola Sarof, he can bring his Karban Pesach, and that's it, that he was Yotzei his Karban. So the Meshachah L'Shitaso holds that there was a new Gerus after the Mice of Shittim, Mila, Tevila, and the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach of Yoshua is actually the Hashlama, is the completion of the Gerus, which was necessary. That's how far the Jewish people had fallen after the Mice of Shittim. Zesha Omer Bigmar Perka Oro Molo V'Tavlu V'Also Pesachem B'Tahara Kamo Ger Fehem Yotzu B'Pesach Kamo Matan Tarish Yikrivu Shlomim. Right, so again, the Meshachachma has it's an incredible chiddush, you know, the notion that they would require another gerus that the Korban Pesach could take that place. But again, that particular aspect, the notion that the Korban Pesach is the third and could be the third and final element of the gerus process, that's very much in accordance with what he writes back in Parshas Balos. Okay, wish everybody a good Shabbos.